The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. This is what John the Baptist proclaimed. One mightier than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop and loosen the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It happened in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized in the Jordan by John. On coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice came from the heavens, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. So here we have this image of John, who is in his humility, is telling Jesus that, look, I am not even worthy to stoop and loosen the thongs of his sandals. He is proclaiming this about Jesus, and then we'll later say that again to him in person. It's an image that might may sound a little odd to us, but what he means is that he is infinitely inferior to Jesus Christ, even though he knows of him, probably doesn't remember the encounter between his mother and Saint Mary during the visitation when he leapt in the womb, sensing the presence of the divine, sensing the presence of him whose life he is to announce, of him of whom he is to be the forerunner. He says that he is not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. What does that mean? What that means is you know, in those days, people, as we know, we often see this around the time of Holy Week, when we have the washing of the feet, on Holy Thursday. It's something that was kind of a revolting task. You remember how St. Peter, when Jesus approaches him to wash his feet, St. Peter is a little shocked by it. And he says, no, I'm not going to let you wash my feet. I don't understand why you want to do that. It was a gross task. I mean, people wore sandals in those days. They didn't have paved roads and such. At least for most, I imagine some of the roads were paved, being a Roman province, but most of the streets and byways were not. Then also you were always stepping in animal dung, because you know, they always had, you know, pack animals and stuff, beasts of burden. And so, you know, when you walked into someone's house, they would have a servant, a slave, who would take care of your sandals, remove the sandals, and then clean your feet as best as they could. John is saying that he's not even worthy to do that to Jesus. What is that? What is it that John the Baptist is showing towards Jesus and that we no longer do? Reverence. Reverence. We have completely lost that notion. Now, I can't generalize, I'm sure many of you are reverent towards Jesus, but, you know I can be very sloppy about it myself, but, you know, it used to be that, for example, I was told that in the 40s and the 50s that you wouldn't talk in church. When you came to Mass, you know, you could chat outside or in the lobby or whatever, but once you entered the nave and you were in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, it was a time to pray. And it's a time for reverent silence. What changed? Did the contents of the tabernacle change? No, we changed. And we don't really care that much anymore. Our faith is not as solid as it used to be. And I'm including myself. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm including myself in this. You know, we have to be vigilant to see, you know, what do we really believe about the Eucharist? Do we really believe what the Church teaches us and what Jesus himself said at the Last Supper? This is my body, which will be given up to you. That the Eucharist is not a piece of bread that's been blessed, that it is the presence of God in a very special and in a very humble way. If we do believe that, then we should behave accordingly. You know, if we come here and we're just chit-chatting loudly, for one thing, it's inconsiderate of people who are trying to pray, but it doesn't say to me or to anybody else, especially the kids whom we have to set an example to, that we're entering into the presence of the Holy. And we have several examples of great devotion to the Eucharist. We take the Eucharist for granted. We treat the tabernacle as if it were just a piece of furniture. You know, and even sometimes, you know, we might genuflect and we don't even know what we're genuflecting to. In some churches, they have the tabernacle off to the side and people will still genuflect towards the altar. No, you're not genuflecting towards the altar. Jesus is not present on the altar. We venerate the altar for what it is and for the service that it provides, but we reverence Jesus present in the tabernacle, in the most holy Eucharist. The Holy Eucharist is everything for us. It is the source and summit. It is where we come from and where we're going as a church. And we must really analyze and examine the way that we treat Jesus, who has done this for us. You know, think about it. Jesus has, when he was here, in those 3 years of public ministry, he was rejected by many. He was ridiculed and mocked by many. You know, he was ultimately just completely rejected. He was crucified. He was beaten up, tortured, mocked, crucified. And even his closest followers didn't stand by him, with the exception of St. John, the beloved disciple, Mary Magdalene, our Blessed Mother, of course, and Mary, the wife of Clopas. And there is, in some accounts, another Mary present. Where would we be? What would we be doing if we were there and we had the same attitude that we have towards the Eucharist today? You know, would we take off? You know, when we come and genuflect, are we sort of like swatting flies? What attitude do we have? How do we dress to come to Mass? I'm simply saying this because we need to be conscious in the way that we venerate our Lord. You know, if I had an appointment with the President of the United States, how would I dress to go see the President? Or if I had an appointment to interview a celebrity that I really admired, a movie star, or an author, a musician, whatever, how would I dress? Would I dress better for those people than I would for Jesus Christ? I think most of us probably would. It's something that we have to be conscious of. Our reverence and our worship is something that we literally have to wear on our sleeve. It has to be outward. We have to show reverence in order to teach reverence. If we're teaching children to worship God, and we're teaching children about the value of the Holy Eucharist, we have to behave accordingly, because kids are like sponges. They pick up on that stuff. And they're going to notice the inconsistency between what we say and the way we behave. You know, the Eucharist is God. There is nothing in the entire universe that even comes close to the holiness of the Eucharist. Nothing. You know, I'm reminded of a story. You know, I mentioned the rejection that Jesus Christ endured before and during his crucifixion, and that he continues to endure after his crucifixion, and in spite of that, he still makes himself available to us in a humble piece of bread that is consecrated and that becomes him. Something that can be easily mocked, it can be vandalized, it can be abused, and yet he makes himself available to us in that way. You know, it reminds me of the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which is a devotion of making reparation to Jesus for the coldness and indifference of humanity, particularly that of believers, not of atheists, but of believers primarily. It's very sad that we behave in this way. You know, the Sacred Heart devotion is based primarily on the messages that Jesus gave to a cloistered nun in France in the 1670s, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. She belonged to the Order of the Visitation of Holy Mary, which had been founded some 60 years earlier by St. Francis de Sales and St. Jane Frances de Chantal. She is a humble nun. She wasn't even fully professed, I don't think, when he first appeared to her. And she's cloistered. She doesn't have access to the world. And yet he gives her this message and says, I want this message to go throughout the world. And he shows her, his heart and asks her to love it back. The first time he appeared to her was in the middle of the night. She heard his voice. She was troubled. She woke up. She's in her nightgown. And, you know, the habit that they wore in the 1600s is very much like the habit that the sisters wear here in the Berkshires in Tyringham. It's a very complicated habit with many layers, and you have to use pins and this and that. It takes probably 15 or 20 minutes to put that thing on. She's in her nightgown, she's in bed. Jesus says, I want you to come to see me in the chapel, in the Eucharist, immediately. She takes the trouble to put on her habit. She's not going to go in her pajamas to see our Lord. She goes to the trouble of getting dressed properly. Reverence, reverence. It's bad enough that we've lost that sense of reverence in the outside world, but it's something that we need to have within these walls and in our homes, and it is something that we need to transmit to our children. Because I can talk about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist until I'm blue in the face, but if I just walk around like, oh, whatever, like the tabernacle is just a piece of furniture, and I don't, with my body and with my attitude, if they don't show that Jesus, that God is present in that little tabernacle, I'm, as St. Paul says, I'm a clashing cymbal. I'm a noisy gong. My words will mean zero. So today, let us ask for the intercession of John the Baptist, that we may have, as we begin this calendar year, many of us have New Year's resolutions, let us pray for a greater reverence toward the Holy Eucharist, a greater sense of reverence, that when we come into his presence, that we may act accordingly, that we may foster a spirit of prayer, respect those who are trying to pray, not talk so loudly, maybe whisper if we need to at all, but preferably keep the conversations for outside. Let us ask for the grace to just be vigilant about that, because I forget about it myself, that our attitudes may be convincing testimonies to people that The Eucharist is not a piece of bread that has been prayed over, that it is Jesus, present in a mysterious way, fully present, and along with him, through the hypostatic union, also the Father and the Holy Spirit, as they are inseparable, all present in the Holy Eucharist. Today, may we be given that grace, that our reverence may increase, and that our love may increase. God bless you.